sang some songs, and among those we sang 114, and the song says, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day. Then we sang about, I'm going that way. I know I shall meet Him at the gate when trials are past. I know I shall meet Him face to face in glory at last. And oh, I believe that when we meet, well done, He will say, but trusting His soul-redeeming love, I'm going that way. Then we sung where the soul never dies. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to that fair land where there will be no parting hand. But friends, we sing some beautiful songs, and we have some awfully good thoughts in those songs, but are we really going that way? Are we really going that way? Do we feel like that heaven will someday be our abode for eternity? Are we serious about this? Are we really serious about this? How many of us just, have you ever done a job and just kind of half did it? I have. Sue and I were coming back from church camp the other day. We was coming through Birmingham. And y'all know how busy traffic can be on U.S. 78. And it's about three lanes there, with six lanes all together. But coming through, and I glanced to my right to swap lanes. And I started swapping lanes. And just thankfully, the person that I forced off into the shoulder of the road had place to go. And you think, and of course, Sue hollered, watch it. And I didn't hit him, got back in my lane. And I thought about it at the end. You know, you look, and of course, you can say about blind spot all you want to. It's my fault. I should slow down or speed up and get them out of my blind spot to see where they are. I can't blame anybody but myself. So how many times have I done things like that and got by with it? Like I did that time. I got by with half doing the job of driving. But friends, do you believe you're going to get by with halfway serving the Lord? Do you really think we are? How serious are you about this? How dedicated are you to this? You know, in the Bible, there's a story in Revelation chapter 3 about the church at Laodicea. We're going to read that story, and I want you to notice I've got on the board a gauge, and we're going to see where the gauge of that congregation was. It wasn't cold and it wasn't hot. It was just lukewarm. And when you think about your life, not as a congregation right now, okay? But you think about your congregation, but think about your life. How would God describe your life? How would He describe the life of Wilbur Bass? And we may sing a good song. We may say, I'm on my way. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Where the soul never dies is where I'm going. But do we really want to be a worker for the Lord? In Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14, and under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. If thou art neither cold nor hot, I would thy work cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now listen to this, what he says. Now don't we sometimes say this and think this? Because I saith I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I'm rich, aren't you? You're increased with goods, aren't you? What do you know that you need? Like a man told me not long ago, he says, you cannot give a child over 16 years old something they need. Tell me what you're going to give them. They may want it, but they don't need it. He said, it wasn't like that years ago when I was a kid. This man was over in Mississippi. He was 40-ish. We have so much stuff. We have so many things. And sometimes we even may think that within ourselves that, really, I don't need anything. And that's what he says here. He says, you think that. You have neither nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He's talking about spiritually. You may physically have many things, but inside, your spiritual life is destroyed. It's no good. It's sick. It is sad, isn't it? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he does that in our life, doesn't he? His spirit strives with us. I heard Brother Haircott some years ago. I thought it was such a good example about the man that asked the child that believes in God. He said, how do you know God is out there? How do you know God exists? The little boy said, well, just like this kite when I fly my kite. My kite gets so high in the sky that I cannot see it anymore. But I feel the tug on the string. He says, I feel a tug on my heart because I know God lives. I know God exists. And we feel that tug, don't we? When we do things that are not right, we feel that tug to know that we're not doing what is right. Our thoughts aren't right. Our deeds aren't right. And we kind of like the Laodiceans, maybe. We just kind of lukewarm. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. See, friends, he always wants to come into your life. But you've got to let him in your life. You've got to open the door and let him in your life. The end of the overcoming, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear. But the Spirit saith unto the churches. You're just lukewarm. You're not cold and you're not hot. How would you describe the church here then at Oak Grove? You brethren that go here. You sisters that go here. How would you describe this congregation? Where do you think the meeting would be on this stage? Where would it be? Would it be there? You say, no, preacher. It'd be further than that. It'd be off the scale. Would it? You say it would be extremely hot in here. That the love, the walk, the fellowship, the faith, the working together. You sung the song I heard somebody say years ago, it's just as bad to sing a lie as it is to tell a lie. And you just sung that song. Remember that. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and do what every day? It didn't start with an L. It started with a B, didn't it? It didn't say lazy. It said, I want to be busy every day. You sung it. You said it. Did you mean it? Well, I preach, that's just a song. You got to understand. But it's not me you got to explain it to, is it? It's not me. Where would the congregation be, brother? At Oak Grove, where would it be? Where would your congregation be? If all the members were just like you, what kind of church would this church be? That's a song. If all the members were just, what kind of church would this church be if all the members were just like me? What kind of church would this church be if all were just like me? Am I just kind of half doing it? You know, friends, people sing songs and you can't even get them to come back during their revival. I'm telling you. I was at a church one time up in Tennessee. It was a weekend revival. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Well, Sunday morning, this guy gets up and they sing it. I asked this boy, I go home and I said, who is that? So-and-so, the guy was old as I am now. This has been 20 years ago, I guess. And he said, he's our regular song leader. I said, well, what was he trying to say tonight? He said, oh, he don't come on. He don't come on Sunday night or Wednesday night or during revival. He just comes Sunday morning. I said, you ladies been singing? Please. What kind of example is that? It's got a good end to the story, though. That's not the end of the story. This man came back, rededicated his life, and he died. That's right. But how can we sing a song like that and we don't even go to our own revivals? Well, you know, you can't drive at night. Can't you? You know what my car's got on it? Headlights, taillights. It's got windshield wipers. It don't stop me from going to ball games if I want to go, does it? It don't stop me sitting on a concrete slab and watching a ball game, does it? And getting excited over it, does it? Like I told him here this morning at Crystal Van, Mississippi that time. I got there that Sunday morning. I got there Saturday night, but Sunday morning, full session. She comes up and introduces herself to me. She says, Brother Dan, I'm excited about this week. And boy, it made me feel so good. But are we just lukewarm? Yeah, this is real personal, isn't it? Yes, it is. Because someday I will answer for my life, and it's not going to matter what you think of me, I think of you. It's going to matter what the Lord knows about me, what He knows about you. Just lukewarm. Just straddling the fence. In Matthew chapter 23, He talks about those people there and about their life, and about what they claimed to be and about what they weren't. And this, to me, Matthew 23, Jesus says some hard things, if you want to say, but some very straightforward things. But what you got to remember is, when you read this chapter, that Jesus loved you as He loved them. And so we can apply this today to ourselves if it does apply to us. But this is what He said to them in Matthew 23. He says in verse 5, talking about these leaders or these people. For all their work they do to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the bottles of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Now what he's talking about is that they would wear these little leather boxes about their head and about their wrists with scripture in there. They'd also wear these long torn robes and love to be seen in these things. That's what he's talking about. And greetings in the market. To be called of them Rabbi, Rabbi, which means teacher. Look at verse 14. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes mint and a nice in cumin, that was spices, which you might not have but 10 plants. You pay tenth of that, though, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the others undone. You blind guides, which strangle the gnat and swallow a camel. Isn't that sad? Religious people. We're religious, aren't we? Let me read you something else. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, lovers of money. You love money? You love to make another nickel? Don't you? You like to brag about what you got? Tell people what you made? Lovers of money? Covetous? Boasters, you ever brag? You ever brag? You never brag. You like to talk about your good deeds. You do it to be seen of men. Jesus just talked about that, didn't he? Boasters, proud. Friends, that's one sin that's all through the book. Pride. That's why Satan was in the Garden of Eden. Oh, yes. Got kicked out, didn't he? Lost the battle, according to Revelation. He did. So he's in the Garden of Eden. Pride. blasphemers, which they mean they're abusive, disobedient to parents. You mind your mom and daddy? Well, mom and daddy don't know much. Well, you'd be surprised what they know. They may not know about computers and all these things that you know about, but they know more about life. Remember what it said about Ephesians chapter 6? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. You name an old man? No, it's not talking about, you don't call your daddy your old man. No. No. You honor your father and mother. That's right. That's right. That it may be well with thee, he says. It's best commandment of promise. That thou mayest live long on earth. That it may be well with thee. You ever think sometimes when people get in trouble, it's because they didn't do what mom and daddy said? Didn't honor their mother and daddy? He said, the last days will come this time. This will be the test. Unthankful. A little bit more of what I had last year, though. So we walk. Just a little more guinea. Like a man I used to work with said, people got a handful of guinea and a mouthful of much obliged, but sometimes we don't even have a mouthful of much obliged, do we? We don't even thank people. Or thank God for what we got. Unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection. We see that today in our society. Men marrying men. Women marrying women. Want to make it legal in America. You wonder where they're going. Truce breakers, which means they're unforgiving. False accusers, incontinent, which means they don't have self-control. Fierce, or they're savage. Despisable of those that are good. Traitors, heady or headstrong. High-minded, which means they're prideful. Lovers of praise is more than lovers of God. Now he's talking about the world. Talking about people that don't know God, isn't he? Look at verse 5. What does it say? What does it say? What does your Bible say? Having a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. These people have a form of godliness. These people, in some form, had godliness. But this was something else about their life that was not godly, was it? Half doing it? I believe so. Lukewarm? Well, he said, I don't know about lukewarm now. That needle might be over here. In cold, it might not be up to that far on the gauge. The Lord said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. See, they will hate the one and love the other. Or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon, but you can't serve God in money. And friends, I'm telling you, we've got so much. I read this morning, but you that weren't here don't get to hear it. You that did hear it, I'm going to read it to you again because I read it more than once anyway. I just took this out of paper this week. The Opelika paper. Talking about Americans being how much we've got to be thankful for. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're more blessed than the billions who won't survive this week. If you ever experience the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pains of starvation, you are ahead of 20 million people around the world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, without fear of arrest, of torture, or death, you're more blessed than almost 3 billion people in this world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish somewhere, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealth. And listen to this one. If your parents are still married and living, you are among the very rare, especially in the USA. Let me read that again to you. Think about that one. If your parents are still married and living, you are very rare, especially in America. So much divorce. If you can read this print, You're more blessed than over 2 billion people in this world that cannot read anything at all. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. To serve God is to put things of God first in our life. Did we do that? James chapter 4. In verse 4. James, have you ever been called an adulterer? What is spiritual adultery? Well, say as a Christian we are married to Christ because the church is his bride. Okay? The church is the bride of Christ. So we're married to the Lord through the church. He says, you're adulterers and adulteress. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Don't want to be God's enemy, do we? You remember what Gamaliel said in Acts when he told them, put the apostle out of the room, let's talk about what you're going to do with these men. He said, if this thing be of God, you can't overthrow it. That you be found to fight against God. He says you can't win against God. You don't want to ever fight against God. God is your friend. God is someone that loves you and cares for you and has taken care of you and blessed you in so many ways you can't even number what He's done for you. God is our Father. And that is a wonderful Father. That's something to think about. To meditate on. Oh, the blessings of God. We can't serve God and mammon. We're going to love the one, we're going to hate the other. Seek the kingdom of God first. First in our life. We must use money in the right way. That's right. Leaders of the church have such a responsibility. And let's put in that treasure to use it in the right way. It's not to buy CDs. It's not to put in the bank to save. Oh, no. Oh, no. And when they talk about a church camp, Brother Bill Yarbrough, about the people in foreign countries that are poor, that will hear the gospel, they need it to be preached to them. And we got brethren that go there and know about it. And brethren, we need to be supporting it wholeheartedly. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. We've got a golden opportunity to do that. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. Oh, yeah. In the judgment day, I don't want to be a witness against me to you. I don't want to be a witness against me to bear judgment that money that laid up in store and unused properly. And if you love money, you just have to do that very thing. Use it to feed those that are poor. Hungry and naked. What did that man say in that article? If you've never experienced the battle, the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation. And I read one time in the paper where it said today in many parts of the world, people are digging in the ground for roots. And you know when they find a root, what it means? It means they won't starve that day. You're not with me, you're against me. In Matthew 12 and 30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You know, say, well, you know, I'm just kind of in the middle of the road, folks. I'm really not against the Lord. I'm not against the church, but, you know, I'm not one of the faithful few. I'm not really taking part in the work. What's your meter reading? Where is it? Where is it? Are you willing to carry on the work? Can you be counted on to carry on the work? Are you scattering? You know, friends, I think one of the saddest things in life would be to come to the end of my life and my children would be ashamed of me, or my grandchildren would be ashamed of their papa. I really do. I think that would just tear my heart out. I really do. And you're like me, I believe. And you think before you speak. You think before you act. You think before you go places and do things and watch things and wear things. Please, please think about it. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's listening to you. That's right, they are. You may not think they are. But I tell you what, those kids, those little antennas are up all the time. Oh, yeah, I got a little dog. Got a little dog sitting in my lap. Her little ears will go like this and go like that and go like that. I feel so. I wonder what she thinks she's doing. Is she a flop one of them down over there, you know? She's got the little antennas up. Oh, yes, she does. Oh, kids got the antennas up, too. You think they don't watch you? You think they don't listen to you? You think they don't hear what you're doing, where you're going? And they hear about these movies you're going through? It's just so simple. Now, what are we thinking about? So, well, preacher, that's why you won't go to one of them. I'm not going to go to one of them. I'll Christmas with a G+. I'm going to spend my money supporting it. I think it's a devil's workshop, what I think. Well, you got it on your TV, too. You can watch them there. That's your choice. Friends, life is about good decisions, isn't it? You can't straddle the fence. If you're not winning, you're against it. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. Ask yourself, what am I doing? Where am I going? What am I watching? What am I thinking on? What's your mind feeding on? What do they say we are? Fixed is what we eat. Well, I'm not surprised, but wouldn't you agree that we are spiritually what we think? What the psalmist David said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What's on your mind? You know what I got on your mind? No, it just didn't get in there, did it? By accident. No, you got it. You let it in there. That's the way Jesus gets in your life. You let him in. That's the way Satan gets in your life. You let him in. You ever get to a point where you just say, stop it. This is the end of this. I am not doing this anymore. I'm turning away from you. And then service. In Romans 6 and 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. What did he say? What the word he used? Yield yourself. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Again, it's an either-or proposition. Those who try to be on both sides will end up where? What did he say? I would spit out of my mouth. I'd rather you be cold or hot. I would just know, just show who you are. Show your true colors who you are. You're not involved. You don't really care. You're just trying to straddle the fence. But it's not working. It's not going to work. We got to ask him to start. Are you serious about going to heaven? What was that little joke about that? And I'm not trying to be funny. But what that preacher said, everybody wants to go to heaven. Stand up. Everybody stood up with one man. And he looked at me and he said, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? He said, oh, sure, when I die, I thought you were going to kind of get the load tonight. And you know, sometimes that's the way we are, aren't we? We want to go to heaven when we die, but we don't want to give up nothing right now, do we? Revivals. What are revivals? Revival really means again. Revival means to live. So again, to live. We want to again live. When we go to revival, we'll be revived. But let me tell you something. You've got to take it personal. The Bible is a personal book. It's right to the point. You ever think about Jesus teaching? When he got through teaching those people, you have to look like that. What did he say to me? You know, you knew what he just said to you. He told you point blank. And you know this, all this, he loves you. Oh yes, he loves you. He cares about your soul. He didn't go all the little way he was living. Just like he told those scribes and Pharisees. You know one place what he called them? A generation of snakes. He didn't. Yes, he did. A generation of vipers. A viper was a snake. He did what? He called those people a generation of snakes. Oh. You don't mean? Yes, he did. What you kind of get their attention? That's right. Trying to show them about their sinful life. What would he call me? What would he call you? What would he call us? Where's that meter? Say, well, okay, brother. It's not lukewarm. I'm serious about this. Can't love the world. 1 John 2 and 15, love not the world, Neither things that are in the world. You do that. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Father's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Name them as it comes. Sexual lust. Lust of the flesh. You know what happens next? Lust of the eyes. The more you see, the more you want. Big time advertisement. Isn't it? Oh, yeah. I remember one time when Brent, our youngest, was small, advertising Hot Wheels. Well, Brent wanted them Hot Wheels. And he goes through this little thing, you know, and goes on his track. You watch that thing on TV, but that thing stayed on the track. You get one back at home, it don't stay on the track. It jumps the track. It's not as if it was advertised. It looks good on TV. That thing works several times. It's like some of that fishing equipment they got, you know. Boy, this is the catch them, you know. Well, let me tell you what, you got to put on the end of the line, it don't always catch them like they show it's going to catch them. But we get this advertised, don't we? And so we want it. Lust of the eyes. Isn't it? Try to keep up with the Joneses, don't you? You going to catch up with them? You think you are. Then what do you say? The pride of life. And that's when we get to talking about what we've got, what we've done, where we've been, how we've lived. And we sing that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Really true? What we say? I want to be a worker for the Lord. Half do it. You can't half do it, brother. It's not going to work. Sisters, it's not going to work. You can't pick out what part of the Bible you want to live by. And you don't want to try to get around any of it. Just try to get around something in the book. Oh, that's a custom. We're going to customize the Bible. I didn't tell brother one time, he don't believe in the book of James. It's not to us. The lost tribes, who's it for? Well, my name ain't Timothy. Your name's Timothy? So I guess Timothy's not for him either. I'm not an Ephesus, are you? A Galatia. Now we can't take it like it is all for me. This new law that we have today. That's right. They can't start trying to customize it, cut it out like one woman said about 1 Corinthians 14:34 about women keep silent. She said, "It's not my book, I cut it out." But friend, it's not going to do any good to cut it out. Is it? Because it's still there. And someday you can rest assured it's there for a reason. It will judge your life, it will judge my life. You say, "Well, I don't like it." Well, friends, let me tell you what, you must accept it. And remember this, you should like it because it's for your best. God always knows best. You know, that's very comforting to me. It is. God knows best for my life. I may not see it, but God knows best. Don't love this world. In 1 John 3:10, John says here, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." Now manifest means to plainly show or to be clear, to reveal. And so he says, this is how you can tell, "Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." All men are either children of the devil or children of God. All men, we're all children of God or children of the devil. Like he said, we're against him or we're with him. We're gathering or we're scattering. We're not straddling the fence like we may think we are. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, I'm going to give you time to turn. James 1 and 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Now let's stop right there. He says, strip yourselves of everything that saws you, and of every evil growth. Some things grow into evil, okay? It may not be evil in itself to start with, but it's going in the wrong direction. It may be something you don't have time for. He says, strip yourself of all these filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness or evil outgrowth. What it's going to grow into. Use good judgment. Okay? Make good decisions. Stop looking and listen. Think about what you're doing. Think about what's going on. Don't just walk through life in a day. Think about it. Okay, here's something out here that's going in the wrong direction. It might be a little flirtation at work. You know? It's all harmless, you know, this sort of thing. Well, let me tell you what, I worked in an office environment for many years. Those things can go wrong, big time wrong. You know that? Oh, it can. Keep yourself pure. Keep your thoughts pure. Keep your actions pure. Keep yourself pure. Strip yourself. And then he says, listen to this one. This is so beautiful. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Think how many times that we get angry about the word. I heard a preacher say one time when I was a kid, that people go home mad, glad, or sad. Brother Hunter. Some of you know. Remember Brother Hunter? No. Mad, glad, or sad. And what he say here? Receive with meekness the engrafted word, he said, because it's able to save your soul. Don't get mad about it. Just take it in. God's word. Not because I said it. No. Because it comes from the book, okay? Because I'm just a person. I'm nothing. That's right. I'm just a person just like you. Just a man. But God's word is inspired of God. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness. It's profitable! Profitable! Say with me. Look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's a good word, doer, isn't it? Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholds himself and goeth his way straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, what's going to happen to the scale right here? If you look into this perfect law of liberty and you, what you receive of meekness is the engrafted word that's able to save your soul, you continue to know what's going to happen to this scale right here. Oh, yeah. It's going to keep going out there, isn't it? Because you receive with meekness this engrafted word. It's able to save your soul. If you see this has got benefits in this life and the life to come. They use doers, not hearers only. He said, because you see your own self. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, about all those names, and all those things he says, and they have a form of godliness, the denying the power thereof, we just read it to you. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, what is that for? If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue. You bind your tongue. If you don't bind your tongue, he's fixing to tell you what's going to happen. But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You think you need to say it? No, you don't. Remember reading in Matthew 12? By thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they should give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Remember reading that? Me and Brother Bill, I think it was him talking about one day. And we'd read, that's a scary scripture. This is too. If any man among you seem to be religious, and don't bridle his tongue, you deceive your own heart. Your religion is what? It's vain. What is vain is useless. Look at verse 27. You know what the Bible says about pure religion? Pure religion And on the fire before God and the Father's wrath, to then see fatherless and widows in their affliction. You have in your born days done that. You ever done that? You never have done that? You never did this as an offering in their affliction? A widow in their affliction. Let me tell you something tonight. When you have any kind of dealings with those people, you be sure they get the best deal. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Be very careful. Be very careful when you deal with them. Oh, yeah. You treat them so well, so good. Oh, yes. You ever read about Matthew 18 when he says about those little ones that believe in me? If you offend one, believes in me. You know what Jesus said? You're better off crying to what? What did he say about it? With a millstone about your neck, you drown them depth of the sea. He said, you can't do it. You can't swim without it. Okay. He said, you're better off dead. Jesus said, you're better off dead than you offend a little one that believes in me. If you're not careful about where you go, those movies you want to go to, oh yeah, that's a real spiritual revival, isn't it? Oh yeah, he just had one time that thing. Oh, Brother Bass, I didn't know you went there. Oh, we had a good time. We had a spiritual revival in that place. Oh, you did? What'd you pay for it? Oh, I don't know what it cost. $10? I didn't. That's a real spiritual awakening. No, it's not. It's rotten to the core. That's what it is. Those movie stars that act on that. What do they believe in? You ever read what they believe in? You ever check it out sometimes through what you're supporting? They were good with the fathers. I don't think so. I don't think so. The widows. That's widows on there. There it is. Please. What? Am I missing something? Let him think about this. What did he say about going, James? Received with what? Being grafted with how? Meekness. What's it able to do is it's able to save your soul. Pure religion. Visit the fathers and widows in their affliction and to keep themselves. Boy, here's the biggie. Unspotted from the world. And friends, let me tell you what. You got to be careful where you go. You know, one time I joined this hunting club, and y'all know I like to be a hunter. I go out there with these men. I don't know these people. And you wouldn't believe how they use the Lord's name. I told Don Forrest, you know, my brother Don Forrest, I said, Don, I ain't paying for this. I'm not coming to this. Mm-mm. No. You think I'm going to pay to join a club and go out there and hear them use the Lord's name like that? He said, well, the preacher would go to America and they use it. Well, we're adults. Oh, you are? Oh, okay. No, it's not okay. You think the world ain't spotting you? You think you're not getting used to it? You know, we think we're standing and watching worst things on television, the movie screen, or whatever, and we get up and we're not sorry. Oh, I'm okay. You know, nothing wrong with me. I come out that okay. No, you didn't come out okay. Satan will get all over you. Just like glue. Oh, yes, he will. You get used to it. You're used to hearing it. Don't think much about it anymore. You get numb to it. Oh, yeah. What are we saying? I want to be a worship of the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day. Where? Kingdom of the Lord. Brethren, we can do it, and we must do it. Change your life. If you need to change it. Maybe you don't need this sermon. Maybe this is just wicked words I got up here tonight and said to you. Maybe you don't need anything about this. But you can't have to. The Lord's not going to take your leftovers. You can't fit God in your spare time. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. Brethren, we can do it. We can serve the Lord. One day at a time. Can't worry about yesterday. What they call the councils of life? What they call it? Worry and regret. the two counsels of life, worry and regret. Jesus tells you over and over, don't worry. Don't worry. Be careful about nothing. It means don't worry about it. But in everything, with prayer and supplication that you request, be made known unto God. And what supplication is? Earnest pleadings. That's what it is. And you pray and you earnestly plead with God. Then God knows what we need. He is our Father. He loves you. He loves me. He gave Jesus to die for me on the rugged cross of Calvary. I can have life in this life and have life in the life that is to come. I can have hope right now. In this life right now, I've got hope. Oh, He's blessed America. I read to you tonight some things, and you know a lot of those things. He's blessed you. He brought you this far. Never forsake Him. Never leave Him. Never turn your back. You may say, well, you know, preacher, this hypocrite, whatever you say, you can't say that. God has never, ever been a hypocrite. He has never done you wrong. He has never turned His back on you. People have walked away from Him, but God has never turned His back on you. He's always loved you and cared. He's like the story in Luke 15 about the prodigal son. When he came home, you remember? His father saw him, yet he was a great way off. His father didn't stand there and wait, did he? You thought about that? He did. He ran to him. That's right. He ran to him. What a beautiful story. And he'll run to you tonight if you'll come to him. If you want to be baptized tonight, you can. Believe on Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess His sweet name. By saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Tonight you can be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your past sins. No better time. There won't be a better time than tonight. It may not come to you tomorrow night, but tomorrow night it's coming to you now. Don't put it off. Satan tells you, wait, think about it. You can do it tomorrow night. I know he says that to you, but don't listen to Satan. Tonight, today's accepted time. Come to him tonight. If you are a member of the church, perhaps you have not lived as you should. Please come back tonight. Please come on back. Well, friends, I've heard some people come up and talk about some awful things they did. You have too, probably. But they poured it out, got it off their chest, got it off their life, got it out of their life. They ask for forgiveness, they ask for prayer, and God will forgive. Won't you come together? We stand and we sing.